My name's Jamie Ellenwood, and they told me that there was going to be three or four of you people here tonight. There's not. And they also told me the longer I kept it going, the more I got paid. So I hope you brought your sleeping bags. Might get you to work tomorrow morning. Thank you guys for being here for our building celebration. And we've got some things planned for you tonight. And first up, I'd like to welcome testimony by Clarence Gibbs.
I'm kind of glad you moved that down here, because I would have had to fish up in the air, too. But you know, he talked about a lot of people. He's right. When I first got back from Saudi, we started going to a church up in Morrisonville, New York. Church up there had about 30 people in it, if they had that. So there's a whole lot more faces here than that, and I see a whole lot more smiles than that. But we got here in August of 91. I came here kicking and screaming. I didn't want to be here. I thought I had my life all planned out. I had 3.5 years left in the military. Had a job all planned. Well, government and God had different ideas. But we always think of different things that happen to us, if coincidence, accidents. You know, wow, this is either good karma, bad karma. Well, I don't think that way. When we got here, we tried different churches, and none of them seemed to fit. So we went looking for a car for my son, and lo and behold, we found First Wesleyan over on St. Francis and Maple. So, a First Wesleyan church in South Dakota. How's that? Well, we started attending. Ran across many people that became friends, and some more like family than friends. Still have them. We still enjoy them. We still enjoy being part of First Wesleyan. There's been many things that's happened since 91 of being First Wesleyan. We tried to expand. No room to grow. We bought the building next to us. We used it as Sunday school. Found out that wasn't really a super good fit. We needed more parking. Tore it down. Made parking space. We had 3 floors to deal with, stairs, many challenges. Every time we thought we'd grow, it'd grow so far, and it would shrink. Come time to plan a church. Seemed like a good idea. But we didn't want to plan a church like most people, of having problems, of splitting because they disagreed. We wanted to plant a church because out of love. So many people in the church, they got together and took the pastor, and we started another church. And the vision was from the First Wesleyan to start a church in the valley. Well, we chased different places and set up. We had to tear down. And each Sunday was just challenging. Well, we made the commitment to serve there for 3 years. We served 3 years. We thought it was going to be kind of awkward to just go back because other people's moved on with their life, and we moved on with ours. But as we tried to find other church to go to, it just didn't seem to fit. So we went back to First Wesleyan, and it seemed like home again. And that's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to know that where you came from, you can always go back to. Because it's home. The people who are there, they enjoy your company. You enjoy theirs. You've made friends. You've made family. Everywhere you go, you have a family. You have your family that you're brought up with. But you got a God-given family. And that's what it's been for me in First Wesleyan Church. When we moved out here, we took and bought the land. Wasn't sure exactly what was all going to happen. We knew we had our dreams. Didn't know exactly what it was going to look like or how it was going to come to be. We have struggled over many years with trying to pay different budgets and balances and trying to figure out what pastor and who, what, when, where, how, why. But God's always been faithful to us. Even when we struggled to even figure out how to buy pens that we needed, we still made ends meet. But you know, God's people are grateful. They give back. And they give with their heart. Through the different people that's come here, we've enjoyed this building. We've enjoyed the finances that has made it possible. But we always ask ourselves, is it by chance? I don't think so. I think God has a plan for each and every one of us. He puts us where He wants us and how He wants us to be. He gives us a heart that we give to others and we give back to Him. So what does this church mean to me? It's a home. It's full of loving people that I'm proud to call my friends and my family. They always said a stranger is a family member you've never met. Well, get out there and meet your family, because they're here, each and every one of us. So God bless you all.
Thank you, Clarence. That was absolutely wonderful. If we could get Rhett and Polly Layden up here, that would be awesome.
How's it going? This is my wife, Polly. We've been married for 16 years. We moved here in 2000 from Havre, Montana. And after we moved down here, shortly after that, we became Christians. And we didn't get plugged into this church until September after this new building was built. And we've really felt welcome here. We've really enjoyed coming here. Carla and Craig Fisher were kind of the ones that told us about this church, so we came and checked it out, and we haven't really checked out another church since then because we've always felt real welcome here. So
I took my glasses off so I don't have to see everybody. I just really wanted to thank everybody. From the moment that we walked in, there was always a hand extended to us and a smile. We've met so many wonderful people here. I didn't want to cry, but I just always do. If you ever see me crying when the music is playing, it's because Bradley picked great music, and I feel like I'm talking to God, and I feel really connected, and everything is good in my life. It's not the opposite. It's because I'm so full of gratitude for the Lord. But just to let a few people know, like Eric and Jessica just have been a blessing. And knowing Janelle and Pastor Steve and just so many people. I tried writing it all down, but I'm not even following any of this. Don and Donna have been such a blessing. I even got jelly for Christmas, and it was wonderful. It made me feel very loved and part of this community. We're at a church for 17 years, and it was really difficult to leave, but my children were starting to not want to go to church, and that broke my heart. So it's really important. My kids want to go, and they have learned so much from Angela and Lauren, my older kids. And every day that we are done with Wednesday night service or this, our Sunday service, my kids tell me in the back seat of the van all the wonderful things that Angela told them or that Lauren has explained to them. They relate the Bible to their regular life. They open up their life when they were children, which I know that's got to be difficult to do. I'm just so impressed with those two. I'm so thankful for Carla and Puggles and her daughters. They both volunteer, and her granddaughter volunteers. This church has just been such a blessing. We've met so many good people here, and I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for this wonderful building that all this can happen on. And I just want to thank you guys for inviting us to be here.
Thanks for letting us be here.
So when Shirley called me to ask me if I'd do this, she said, "You're first on our list." And I figured, yep, that's after the first five had been crossed off. So I get an email from Pastor Steve, and he kind of likes to poke fun at me once in a while, and I think it's because he looks down on me somewhat, you know. And he said that I'd look really nice in a suit and tie, and I think he knows that I don't own one. So I thought, well, how am I going to get back at him? So I asked to borrow one of his. I figured we could take it to the tailor and go from tall, skinny to short and not so skinny. Then I thought about it. That'd work, but I don't ever want to try to have to fill his shoes. I think this building, everything that we have here, a lot of it is owed to Pastor Steve. So I really appreciate him. I hope you guys do. And with that, I'd like to invite him up to do the children's story.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Appreciate that. Bruce is going to come in just a couple of moments, but give me a couple of moments, and I'm going to have the kids come up in just a moment. But I just got to say a couple of things. I get to be a part of this, and I'm not the only one involved in all this. We have a pastoral staff. We have many people that serve, and that's you. And we ride on the shoulders of people who have given so much, and I am so thankful for that. Here's what I hear. Most of the time that I ask people when they come in the door, and like, how did you find First Wesleyan Church? Well, I was driving along the road, and I saw the church, and so I decided to come in. We had a young man by the name of Michael that was here last week. He lives in the apartments, and we've had several from the apartments. I don't know how much those people will stick and how much they'll come for one Sunday, but I do know this. People say, wow, what a loving church you have. And that has nothing to do with me. That has to do with all of you. And so thank you for being a loving church. I just wonder who that next person will be and who that next man or woman will be. Bob Messer, I don't think Bob's here tonight. Bob Messer, who's over 80 years of age, was one of the first ones baptized at First Wesleyan Church in this property. That's incredible to me. And as I visited with him, and I don't think I'm saying this out of confidence by any means, he said, I knew you had purchased this land. Bob and Judy currently live down the road here. They're getting ready, actually. They probably will never be back to they'll come back and visit, but they're moving to Florida. Said, you moved here, and I thought, when are they going to ever get here? And we took our time in getting here, but he said, I'm glad you're here because this is very valuable for me. You couldn't see in the video, but he feels like he made a commitment a number of years ago, and he was able to fulfill that commitment he made a number of years ago, and here we are. Thank you for what you give unto the Lord. I believe this, to whom much has been given, much will be required. That's scriptural. I personally at times don't like that. Because if I have been given a lot, then more is required of me. But yet God is calling us to something else. And I also think this. The scripture says, do not store up yourselves treasures in heaven or on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven. And I look at this building and I think, well, are we storing up a treasure here? And if you think that we are, please look outside of these walls and look around you even in this building now, because people matter. People matter in Rapid City, and sometimes they come from Nebraska, or sometimes your family comes from whoever, where, and they come and they hear the message of God through singing, through a handshake, whatever it might be. And so I'm just thankful for you. Now, I need the kids to come up on the platform. If you're a kid, would you just come up on the platform, please? All the way up to, like, a senior in high school. I know some teens, you're not going to want to come up here. Come on. Come on, teens. Come on. All the way up here. Come on. Come just stand up here, please. Come stand up here. Just stand right up here. Turn around. Turn around right there. Turn around right there, Evan. Turn around right there, Harrison. There you go, right there. Just stand right up here. Turn around now, right there. Stand right up here, Jackson. Turn right there, right there, Leah. Yeah, right there. Turn around right there, Asa. Right there. Come on, David. Pearl, you want to come? You just stay right there by your mom then. If you could, the fun thing about like David is like he's not going to know any, I'm assuming they're going to continue to come to church here, but he's not going to know anything different than this church building. Some of you know a lot different than this church building, but he will never know anything different than this church building growing up. He'll be like, wow, First Wesleyan Church. Several of you are on the shoulders of which we ride upon. I wish we could. And Pastor Eric got a snapshot of this. Wouldn't it be fun to know 20 years from now? There might be a pastor, there might be a doctor, there might be a lawyer, there might be a stay-at-home mom, there might be a missionary, there, whatever. There's a family business maybe here. And we get to be a part of this. And so when you think it's building, it's not a building. This is just a tool to help the future generation to know God, to love God, and to serve Him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So thank you for when you give, because you're investing in these individuals. If you have ever served in any church, anywhere, in a children's capacity, whether teaching Sunday school, whether doing nursery, something with teens. If you've ever done something like that, stand to your feet. If you've ever done something like that, would you stand to your feet? You've done something with kids somewhere along the way. Some of us are gifted in this way, some of us are not. So if you're being seated, you've served in other ways. I wonder who each of you have touched through your lives. You don't even know where they've all been. Okay, you can sit back down and look at these wonderful kids. And I just think it might be appropriate just to cheer them on. So would you just give a big cheer for these kids up front? And kids, listen to me. We don't know where you're going to be someday, but for right now, you're here, and we're so thankful for you. So as you run up down the halls and walk down the halls as well, and you're in the classrooms, know that these people are behind you. They are. Some of these people pray for you, and they see you, and they see maybe at times when you struggle or when you get frustrated with your moms and dads. Do you ever get upset with your mom or your dad? You do? Thanks for being honest. And Jackson, you're very important to God as well as everybody else. And so thank you for being a part of First Wesleyan Church. You may be seated. Thank you very much for coming up on the platform.
We actually have vision encouragement by Mr. Bruce Ashland next. I asked him how he wanted to be introduced, if it was Mr., Professor, Doctor, and he said, yep.
Thank you, sir. There's only a couple of those that are probably true. You know, this is sort of interesting. I want to thank the committee and the board for asking me to do this. Some of you know I probably helped do this, you know, get our whole church thing going here a few years ago. So it's nice to be asked to come back and do this. I really, really do appreciate that. I guess there's, but vision's sort of a hard thing, and so I don't really know. And I thought about what I should say, and I thought, well, I don't know. I don't want to talk about vision. I'm going to tell you three stories, and then maybe this will all relate somehow. One of them isn't really good. One of them is, a couple weeks ago, one of my best friends decided he didn't want to live anymore. That's been a really, really hard thing for me the last few weeks. I know it also affected our pastor a bit, You know, he was a younger guy, professional, has three kids, a wife, and just didn't have a vision anymore. Just didn't see any hope out there. That's just been a hard thing. That's just more of a personal thing. I don't know why, but I think things happen in your life that come up. And since I was asked to do this about 2 months ago, I've just been thinking for 2 months what to do, and that thing sort of popped up. And I think that has something to do with why we are here. I know in his particular case, we both our pastor and I had invited him to come many times, and it just wasn't the right thing for him to do. And ultimately, he had other plans for what he should do. The second one is when I came to church today, I was late, which about 98% of you who know me would not think that's uncommon. But when I got here, you know, when we were over, as Clarence mentioned, we were over at the other church. We didn't, you know, we bought the building next door, used it for a little while, then we mowed it down because we needed more parking. Well, we had 45 some or something like that spots over there, and parking was always an issue. But, you know, we built a new church, and the city says you have to put in 90 or 100 parking spots, so we do exactly what we're asked to do, and we put in that many, maybe like four or five more, because we always want to go above whatever our city would ask us to do. And then of course, we decided we also need some parking over here, which is supposed to, eventually it will be asphalted, I think. I don't know. But anyway, that was all filled over there, including somebody parked right in front of the big garbage can over there today. So this was completely filled. And then along the street, everything that way was filled. The only place that was available was all the way down. You know where the pastor's parked, don't you? You know, okay, I was right in front of Pastor Steve today. So that was the only spot. And, you know, I could have been sort of disgusted about that, disgusted, but, you know, whatever. I felt it was a good story to tell, so. Third one is about a month ago, my wife and I went to California for a weekend, and we happened to say, hey, we were close to San Diego. And many of you are familiar with Dr. David Jeremiah and Turning Point. We were fortunate enough to be able to go to his church about a month ago. And that Sunday, he spoke on how you can increase your faith. And I'll give you his 5-point sermon in like 2 minutes, which is, this is not to challenge our pastor to do this in the future, but it will be in 2 minutes. He said, to grow your faith, there's 5 things you want to do. One, you better figure out how big God is. That's a perspective. You know, don't have a little God. Know that you have a big God. And put that, that'll help you increase your faith. Secondly, he said, you need to be going to church. You need to hear preaching. There's commandment, you know, if you look into Hebrews, you're supposed to be doing those kinds of things. You need to hear people preach to you. You can't just stay in your home and watch the or listen on the internet. You need to get out and go to a church and hear preaching. Thirdly, he said that you need to be around people. You need to be sharing your faith, whether, I mean, it's something like this or if you're helping in Sunday school or whatever, but you can't just isolate yourself and be a Christian. That's not being a, that's not going to help you grow your faith. The fourth thing he said was you want to have, not that you necessarily want to have, but you need to have problems in your life. You know, when you have problems, one of the greatest ways you can grow your faith is by turning those problems over to God. Sometimes those things are really, really big, but it's through that I think we grow, we learn more about who our Savior is, and it really does increase our faith. The last one, though, was one I had never, ever heard, and he said you need to have a project in your life. And he said you need to have something that is so big in your life that that you're involved with, that the only way that thing can ever be solved or the only way it can ever come to fruition is if God does it. I mean, that just, that day David Jeremiah spoke to me, because there's been nothing in my life in the last 3 years, I think, that has told me more about how big and how good my God is than what's happened here at First Wesleyan. You know, it was actually about 3 years ago that we had a banquet at the Holiday Inn, the Civic Center Holiday Inn. And at that point, we'd had a number of meetings prior to that, the board and committees, and we decided this is what we needed to do. We needed to, we all felt that at First Wesleyan Church over in that building over at the corner of Maple and St. Francis, that we were not reaching as many people as we'd like to. it helps, you know, we can invite people. The Fishers inviting the Ladens, that's a neat story. But it also is a neat story, you know, if you have a facility that helps invite people in. And I think that's what we sort of felt. We felt that if we could find a new location that was a little bit more exposed, and if we're in this, like in this environment, we already had the land, it was pretty easy to show that vision to those people, then saying, hey, this is maybe where we need to go as a body. And our church did go in that direction. I think we were very conscious as we went through that whole building process. Number one, of course, it's all finances. You know, we thought we should spend $2 million, and we ended up spending maybe $3.5 million by the time we're all done, $3.5 million. But we felt that, you know, we needed to have a place where we'd have facilities for more kids, and just mainly so that you could just minister to more people. You know, I think the main vision has always been that we want to lead people to Christ. We want people to know who God is, and we needed a better place to do that. So leastwise, we came over here, and as I went through that process, and I was sort of on with a number of other people in the midst of that, you know, we went through that. I was part of the building committee. To my knowledge, I know we lost two families for sure during that building committee, and that's somewhat my responsibility, because maybe there may be a couple things I could have done a little bit different, and I wish those two families hadn't left. I know since that time, and that was related directly to the building, I know since that time I've heard there's maybe a couple families, one who didn't want to come all the way out here from being in Robbinsdale, they didn't feel they wanted to come out here this far, and another family, I think I was told by our pastor that it was just too big now. And I understand that. But when you think about it, when you talk to people about if you're going to build churches and you find out what they're talking about or what their experiences have been, I don't know of any place that's ever built a church that has expanded like we did that has only lost just a couple families. You know, we didn't have any kind of split. Most churches about this time, after they build a building, within a year are looking for a new pastor. At this point, I didn't ask Steve when I had lunch with him this week if he's going to stick around, but I'm guessing he is. Because our pastoral staff got through this whole process without a whole lot of stress being put on, without a whole lot of being on the wrong side of a decision or something. And it, you know, and then we go back, you know, we had to make sure our finances would work, and I sort of sat there and got my pencil to work or whatever, and we could borrow like 1.8 or roughly just a little bit less than $2 million if we're going to do this thing. Well, and we were able to get a loan for that very easily, and if we did that, we would be in really, really nice financial, very comfortable situation, in that we could keep doing the ministries we wanted. We didn't want to build a building and then not be able to afford to have the pastoral staff to be able to serve the people as they come in the door. Well, we were able to financially do those things, and actually at the end of the day, I'll go back one step. At that meeting we had 3 years ago, our consultant, who was wonderful, Steve Anderson, he said usually in these kinds of things, if your budget is like $500,000, if that's usually what you're taking in a year, you should be able to raise $750,000, maybe $800,000 or $900,000 in a capital campaign at that. Well, we do our capital campaign, and we only raise $450,000. It was interesting, though. We were told we'd raise maybe as much as twice that, but I don't believe anybody who was on that committee felt bad about that. None of us felt that this is the wrong thing. I think we still had a lot of assurance that God was leading us in this direction. And what I guess I fully felt that. I never thought for a second that God wouldn't provide, because everything else was going the way. There was so many people who were committed to this. As a body, we were committed to this. People were praying for this, and it was going in the right direction. Well, ends up as we, about the time we moved into this church, then within about a month of that, we had the ability to borrow $1.8 million. About the point that we got in here, we maybe borrowed just a little bit over $1 million. All of a sudden, a whole bunch of money just showed up. I have absolutely no idea where that came from. I just know it came. I could not pick out anybody in this who's sitting here today that did that for us. So what it is, though, what I guess I have figured out about First Wesleyan that's so unique is that we just give as we feel led to give. I don't think we do things in this church to say you have to give, you know, all those kinds of things. I think people just, they're thankful for their Lord. They're thankful for what he does in their life. And I think that they express that through the way they've been blessed. So that's partly what I'm supposed to do today. You know, we still have things we need to do. We need to get a parking lot so I have actually a real place to park next week. That's how that second one relates, by the way, is I just want to have a place to park. You know, I asked Pastor Steve if he could maybe give you an idea for some of the things, visions that people have in this church. Well, yeah, there are things. You know, we want to have maybe 200 kids come to children's. Just a second, I have to look at my little note here. Oh, no, they didn't say Awana. VBS. That's what it was. We need 200 kids to come to VBS. Maybe we want to have, we need to have a neighborhood car clinic. We need to have a party here on the 4th of July so we can watch the Elks fireworks. We need to have over 100 people saved in the next 5 years through our ministries. Hey, that's a one. You need to have more, you know, community projects, small groups during the week. I guess the one thing I think of is I've always thought that it be great if we could have, with all these kids that are over here in the apartments, and it'd be great if we had an after-school thing here. I guess that's always been, I don't know why that's always just sort of been on my mind, that, you know, that you can drop the kids off here, and then, well, you know, the school bus comes and drops the kids off until the parents get home, they're here for a couple hours. But to do that, we need another facility. As many of you know, right, we do sort of have a plan in the back of some of our minds that over here, just on this side, we might put a big gymnasium. By the way, gymnasium is just for Pastor Steve because I'm no longer supposed to call it a multi-purpose thing. It's just a gymnasium. Is that correct, Don? Oh, I'm sorry. Don Hemstock says it's a multi-purpose. But leastwise, I think you understand what I'm trying to say. I think if we had something over here, and that's going to take another $600,000 or $700,000 to do, you could easily have a big youth, a much larger youth program. You could have more Sunday school rooms. I know when we built this that we didn't have, our Sunday school rooms were not going to be large enough, but there's only so much we could do. We doubled the size of the rooms from our previous church, but I think there's a couple of these Sunday school classes that are getting really close to the edge. I don't know what your vision is. I don't know where you think our church should go or what different ministries we need to get into. But I think you have to agree at this point in time, the reasons we came out here were to expose our church and our ministry to other people, to more people. We have people that just drive by here and they see this and they want to come in and see what's here. We need to be able to serve them. Don't take offense to this, Lynn or Rhett and Polly, but I have no idea who you were prior to today. But, you know, I think that's why we're here. That's why we all came out here, is because we want to share Christ with more people. So, you know, when Pastor Steve talks about Michael coming over from the apartments, wow, that's why we're here. But we still need to do some things. We still owe about $1 million. We'd really like to get that paid down. I think there are some in our church who feel that it would be best if we got a really good handle on that before we expand anymore. I can appreciate that. I might be on the other side that says, let's just build it and they'll come and we'll get the money. But it's not just, you know, we all have different ideas. So we do need to... We do need to help with some of those financial things. When we did this 3 years ago, we asked for pledges for the next 3 years. And at that point in time, like I said, we got about $450,000. Most of that has come in. And that's been really good. But I think what we'd like to do, what I think our church leaders have said is, we want to keep growing in this way, but we're going to ask again if we can continue on with some of those kinds of issues. Can we continue on? Is our church ready? Is the body ready to help continue making? Would they want to make another pledge for the next 3 years to say, hey, we want to keep going. We want to keep moving. In order to be a leader in this kind of thing, you sort of have to have an idea what kind of support you have, what kind of financial ability might we have in order to be able to make plans in the near future. So I guess that's what I'm supposed to ask for today, is for pledges. It's like I'm not the greatest guy to do this in one way, because I just believe God just blesses us no matter what. But it all takes us to do it. So I do have some pledge cards here that I'm going to ask you, Fred, if you want to come over. Can I get you, Fred and Brad, if you guys would just grab half of those and pass them out. So this is what I want you to do. Is this just said, this continues on with our building fund here. I don't think we've totally identified as a group yet what our next vision is, what the next thing is we want to do. But we certainly know we need to get going with it, and that's where this will help us. If you feel compelled, you're welcome to fill it out today and say, hey, I can keep doing $50 a month or whatever it was, or $100 a month or $10 a month. Or if you want to take it home and think about it next week, do it. We sort of like to get them back maybe in 2 weeks. You can just put them, just get them back to the church. We're going to use that to help us figure out what plans we can do in the near future. If somebody says they want to give $1 million, well, we just might start that thing really quick next door. Or we might expand out that way to put on more Sunday school rooms. Just do what God leads you, what God puts on your heart. This is not meant to hurt you, but I'll go back to my third point, which is about what David Jeremiah said about a project. If you think you have some financial things, this is a wonderful way to challenge God and to increase your faith. I don't want to necessarily challenge God is necessarily the right way to put that, but if you just lay that out there before God and say, hey, God, I don't know where I'm going to find $100 a month to do this. Sometimes you just lay that out there and let God do that and see what he does. Like I say, the biggest thing that I saw in the last 3 years was how this church all worked. If you come into my office, I'm a CPA, I bet out of maybe, I don't know how many people I'll see this year, probably 300, maybe not quite that many, 250, 275. I'm sure 100 to 150 of them, if not more, have heard about this church, because this is just so great. What God did here is so beyond anything I ever thought could be done. But I got to see it. I was sort of in the middle of it. That was my project, and I need to find another project. So I hope you guys might take that a little bit in your own life. If you want to grow your faith, which I hope we all do, come up with a project. Maybe this is one of them to help see where this thing should go in our church. But certainly do come up with something like that. It's amazing what God does for us when we just open ourselves up to him. With that, I'm done. Jamie?
Thank you. That was awesome. We have a video for you next, if you guys would turn your attention up there. Thank you.
We gather here today in a building on a section of land that was set apart by God from the beginning of time for a place to provide hope through Jesus Christ to the people of this area. This property has never been used for anything else besides this church. Our ministry here is built on the shoulders of generations of people that faithfully served at our previous locations. Our ministry here is built on generations of faithful men, women, and children, just as yourself, who placed God's will for this church above their own. Now, as the great cloud of witnesses in heaven, those generations of people are cheering us on as we continue to impact those around us for God's kingdom. We have seen the hand of God provide for this building, and He will continue to provide for us. Over the past year, we have seen many individuals and families become a part of First Wesleyan Church. As we continue in ministry here, we pray that lives will be renewed through the impact of our church.
I don't know what God has for me in my future. I may be a missionary to a far-off country, or I could be serving Christ closer to home. I do know that First Wesleyan has played a role in my walk with Christ, and I look forward to where God takes me in my future.
Whether people walk through our doors for a concert, wedding, funeral, or community event, may they connect with God in an unforgettable way. As we look ahead to the future of the ministry here, we can only imagine what God will do through our efforts. People will come and go. Some may stay for only a Sunday, while others may worship with us for decades. But our prayer is that each individual who comes through our doors feels the power of the Holy Spirit and will leave renewed. We can only imagine what might come out of our ministry here. There might be a fractured marriage that is healed by the power of God. There might be a teen that doesn't understand what life is about and finds Jesus Christ who can bring him or her meaning. There might be someone that brings the message of Christ to their workplace. There might be an individual that is called to bring the message of hope and the love of Jesus Christ around the world to a place like Burundi or Suriname. However God works, He will provide for this church, as He has already made apparent. Looking toward the future, we can only imagine what God will do with this church and His people.
Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. All right, we're almost done. Is there anybody in here that was on the building committee or actually helped build part of the church? We'd like to have you stand. Stand up, please. Thank you, guys. Everybody appreciates all the hard work you've done. We have some caterers out here, Silver Linings Creamery. We have Ian, Jen, Tasha, and Cammie. Clap for them. We also have Angels Catering out here, Amanda, Angel, and Adams. When you guys came in, you put your name in a little basket or something out there. They're going to draw for door prizes, which are going to be the centerpieces on the table, about halfway through. So keep an eye on that. And if you don't get it, I'll take it home for you. So that'd be awesome. There's really no rules out there except for I get to go first. It looks wonderful. I think it probably should taste as good as it looks. So thank you guys for coming, and have a good evening, and you can stay as long as you want.
If you see Jim and Shirley Lesperin, Shirley's back here, and Jim's over here. They've kind of led this part, as well as some others have been a part of this. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for giving unto the Lord. Continue to give. And may God do mighty things through First Wesleyan Church. Lord Jesus, I pray over each man, each woman, each boy, each girl. And I thank you for them being a part of this church. You are doing mighty things. And for whatever reason, you allow us to be a little part of that. And so we say thank you. And we ask that as we go from this sanctuary, that you would continue to help us to have a vision for those houses that were on the screen that are behind us and the ones that are in front of us and to the left and the right. And what's going to happen east and north and south of this building? May we have your mercy and your grace to minister to each of those. Give us your favor. And we ask that you would go before us and give us your strength. Thank you for those who continue to serve faithfully, those who continue to pray, those who continue to give, and may you continue to use us for your purposes. And as we just sung, we can only imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when individuals have come into this church and found you as Savior and Lord. And so we ask of that to happen. May this be a place where people find you and continue in their walk with you, and then get to go to a wonderful place called heaven. Thank you for this home of heaven in which we have. Go with us this evening. I pray that you would bless this wonderful, tasty morsel of goodness that we're going to have. And as we fellowship in this area, may you just bless our time. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Look around to your right and to your left. Be thankful for what God has done, and be thankful for what God will continue to do. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming tonight.